You can't afford not to spend money on marketing. Marketing is the lifeblood of any business. You have to market to bring new patients into your practice. If you want to go from startup office to actual full-fledged dental practice and you want to do that in the shortest time possible, you have to spend that money on marketing.
Are you looking to grow your dental practice? I'm Dr. Len Tao, and on the Raving Patients podcast, we'll show you how to apply the best strategies to grow your dental practice so you can stay ahead of the competition and dominate your market. Get the strategies we impact today and many more at ravingpatientspodcast.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Raving Patients podcast. As you know, I'm your host, Dr. Len Tao. First of all, I want to thank the sponsors, both the DocSites and Dental & Toe, for their support. Today, I am super excited because I get to talk to a fellow dentist. A lot of my podcasts are with industry leaders or companies, but I get to talk to a fellow dentist here. In fact, we're going to be talking about reviews as well. So it's two things that I thoroughly like to do. Today's episode is how to get 1,500 Google reviews in just 2 years. My guest is a fellow dentist. His name is Andrew Vallo. His practice is called the Dental Boutique West Chase. He has two current startups that are 2 years old, as well as two that are upcoming to be opened anytime soon. He also has a new podcast that he just launched called Dental Unfiltered. So please welcome to the Raving Patients podcast, Dr. Andrew Vallo. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Len. Thanks for that amazing introduction. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm excited to talk to your listeners about Google reviews because that's been a pivotal part of our fast growth for my startups.
We talked prior to the recording, so I learned a little bit more about you. As I mentioned, you have two startups that are 2 years old, and you have two that are really going to be close to opening. I think you said sometime in October, so right around the corner. So let's start off really quickly here and kind of get a little bit more of your background. Can you share some things that you think are really important for the audience to know about you and kind of your startup journey?
Sure. So yeah, I graduated from Ohio State University, 2016, and I spent a couple of years in public health. I then decided it was time to get into practice ownership, and I made the move from Ohio down to Florida with my wife. At the time, we were going to purchase a practice. So I had everything, I had the LOI signed. We were in like the 11th hour. We had already put a deposit on a lease in Tampa. We had already sold our house in Ohio. And at the very last second, the sellers backed out of the deal. So here we were moving to Florida, no practice, no job. And my wife said, you know, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're going to move to Florida and then, you know, we'll figure it out. So we moved down here. At that point in time, I decided, you know, I do still want to get into practice ownership, but I wanted to put the control back in my hands rather than get into another deal where I had no control of it falling apart. And I decided I was going to do a startup. So at that point in time, I just took an associate job and I actually signed on with Ideal Practices. They were my startup consultants, so they kind of helped me through the journey of my first startup. From the very beginning of opening my very first startup, you know, I was very intentional with how we designed the office. I was intentional with how we designed the new patient experience, and I was intentional with how we, you know, portrayed our branding, our marketing, and our Google reviews, which I think are a really big part of your branding and marketing. So
I agree 100% with you, 100%. So let's talk about reviews. Let's start with the reviews and why you find that reviews are really important, especially for startup offices. Now, again, I'm the review guy. They call me the reviews doctor. I'm all about reviews. I've been about reviews literally since 2010. It's been a big focus for me. And I preach reviews to everybody, startup, existing, you know, whether you're transitioning. Startups reviews are so important. So can you give me or the listeners your perspective, not me, your perspective on why reviews are important, especially for startups, which you've obviously been involved with?
I guess I would start by saying my wife and I, we won't go see a movie without looking at reviews. We won't go to try a new restaurant without looking at their reviews. So I mean, if we're going to read reviews and make a decision for, you know, trivial things, why would patients not want to look at reviews before coming in to see a new medical practitioner, before spending hundreds or even thousands of dollars on dental treatment? So that was my mindset. That was why I believe reviews are so important. And it may be generational. Some of our older patients may not care as much about the reviews, but I do think most generations at this point in time are looking at reviews before they're making purchases, before they're making decisions. And so as a startup business, I mean, nobody knows about you. You know, you have a clean slate, you're putting your branding out there. So, you know, starting out and asking, being intentional, creating that experience, asking for reviews, that's going to really help make you a known commodity within your community. And the other problem is if you're not asking for reviews, you know, who's going to leave your reviews are the people that aren't happy. So, you know, people are way more likely to take the time to leave a review if they feel like they had a bad experience, even if it wasn't your fault. But, you know, if you're not asking patients for reviews, the more patients that are going to leave reviews are the ones that aren't happy. And the ones who had a great time, they're not going to actually leave a review most likely. So,
right. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it because they're not going to go out of the way. People talk about their experience, especially when they're extraordinarily good, but more importantly, when they're extraordinarily bad. And you want to overcome those potential negatives with a bunch of positives because you have so many happy patients or you wouldn't have a dental practice. So, and you know, I think you agree that before people make decisions on whether they're going to be you're going to be their dentist, they're going to look you up online. And if you don't have reviews, like I like startup businesses to have reviews even before they open their doors. Now, you know, you came, you moved to Tampa from Ohio. You knew nobody down here basically, but there was still a way for you to get reviews before you opened your doors. I just spoke to a startup practice this morning. He's not even open yet and he has no reviews. I said, you've got to get reviews. He told me he's got like 52 pre-bookings already. I'm like, that's awesome. But if you have some reviews, because if you don't have reviews, people think you're either really old or brand new and you don't want to come off as brand new.
You're absolutely right. And I agree. I mean, you can reach out to former patients, you know, you can reach out to current patients. I did that a little bit at my associate job. You know, maybe it's a little bit of a gray line, but I said, hey guys, I'm opening my own practice. I know you had a great experience here. Would you be willing to leave me a review at my new practice? And they did. It was no problem. So
got it. So let's talk about what I would say creating these raving patients. So why does a 5-star review starts with creating this 5-star experience, which I call creating these raving patients?
You can have your systems in place. You know, I can tell you guys my exact systems for how we ask for reviews. I can tell you guys my verbiage that we use. But if you're not providing that experience, the systems are meaningless. Like you have to start with that incredible new patient experience. And it should be for all your patients. It should be consistent. But you have to be intentional about it, because if you're not intentional, if there's not a system behind your new patient experience, then it's going to change every single day. And some days it'll be good and some days won't be as good. So, you know, you have to think about the environment of your practice. You have to think about how it looks, you know, how patients perceive the practice, how it feels to be there, how they're greeted, even like what the practice smells like. So we have our own scent for our practice. It's white tea and thyme. It's the same scent a lot of the major hotel brands use. We use a product called Scent Air to kind of boost that throughout the office. We've got one in the front and one in the back. But patients walk in, they're like, wow, it smells great in here. So, I mean, like we didn't want to look, feel, or even smell like your average dental office. And that was the goal from the start. My wife was our kind of interior designer. She doesn't really have a background in that. She's just has way better eye than I do for that stuff. So I let her take that over. And, we went for like a modern minimalistic approach. It's our color scheme is basically like white and gold. So the walls are all white. We've got gold, DCI ultra leather chairs. Patients love them. They're not ADEC, but they're still great. And we've got like some gold decor on the walls and we upgraded the patient bathroom. So like I spent money on things that patients were going to notice. You know, my advice to a startup practice, because I know you don't have an unlimited budget, is don't spend money on things that aren't going to make a difference, aren't going to turn ROI. Don't spend tens of thousands of dollars on extra cabinetry you don't need. You know, all you need is a little 12 o'clock setup. You're going to be good. Spend that money instead on, you know, creating things that patients are going to notice and on marketing. We have 3 TVs in every operatory. So it's kind of like the breakaway style. We've got 2 50-inch TVs kind of right on top of each other on the wall that the patients are facing. The bottom TV, we show x-rays and intraoral pictures and things like that to the patient to educate them. The top TV, we have a slideshow of our different like team members at community events. We've got before and after pictures. We've got maybe specials we're running. And then the top TV over on the ceiling, that's the one that the patients watch like Netflix on. So just something as simple as how much does a TV cost these days? But putting those TVs in each operatory, patients walk in, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe all the stuff we've got going on here. So
that's really great. I mean, I know Scott from Breakaway. I've never heard him talk because I was well into my practice purchase when he kind of became what he is now. So I've never heard that before. That's great. Three TVs, you wow the patient as soon as they walk in. I love what you said, and we talked about this prior, is putting into money things the patients are going to recognize, not a more expensive piece of equipment that the patient doesn't even know what it is. You know, you don't need to buy the most expensive hand pieces. You invested money in marketing, which is really why your startups have become super successful. Is there anything else that you can pinpoint from the, you know, let's say the new patient experience that makes you stand out from others?
We have a comfort menu. So basically when the patient comes in, they're going to fill out the comfort menu and select items that they want. We have a fancy espresso machine. So rather than just getting like the $50 Keurig, you know, we sprung for, it was maybe like $800. It wasn't crazy, but it makes like cappuccinos and lattes and things like that. So patients can actually choose their specialty coffee drink. Instead of just having bottled water, we have like the sparkling LaCroix waters and different flavors so they can pick the flavor that they want when they come in for those appointments. We have noise canceling headphones. We have soft blankets. We have neck pillows. But the nice thing is rather than just counting on the team to like offer these things, the patients get to fill out a survey when they walk in the comfort menu, and then they receive those items that they select. So I think that made a huge difference as well for our new patient experience.
Hey guys, I just wanted to interrupt this interview to tell you about one of our sponsors. Your website is the heart of your online marketing, and a website health check is like an annual checkup for your website. The DocSites is trusted by hundreds of dentists, providing them affordable and effective websites and online marketing with no long-term contracts, transparent pricing, and great customer service. Get a complimentary website assessment and see how you can get more from your online presence. Visit DocSites.com for more information or text Raving Patients to 818-489-9823 to schedule your complimentary website assessment. So I had a comfort menu as well. And I had a comfort menu. It asks, do they want any type of, what type of, do they want nitrous? Do they want any type of pre-medication for, you know, Advil, Tylenol, or Aleve? You know, I asked them what type of music they like. We asked them if they want a blanket or a pillow. You know, if they like, we had paraffin dip for their hands. The one rule in my practice was they have to come in on time to get the paraffin. If they didn't come in on time, they didn't get the paraffin.
That's fair.
So it made people show up on time.
Yeah.
So I very much believe in a comfort menu. In 2007, when I got mine, nobody offered it. And I would talk about it at all my seminars, and it really made a difference. The other thing that I had was something called the Please Handle Me With Care form.
Okay.
So we asked the patients what they didn't like about going to the dentist, things that happened to them in the past. They don't like the sound of the drill. They want to know the cost up front. They don't like lying back for long periods of time. They don't like sitting in the waiting room for long periods of time. It was a list of like 10 or 12 things. And everybody said to me, nobody's ever asked them what they didn't like about going to the dentist. And they appreciated that. That is why I focus. So, we've never met before. We spoke for the first time just a few minutes ago.
Yep.
And it seems like we think a little alike in how we wanted our patients to believe or feel about their experience in our practice.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great idea. Was it just open-ended where they can write?
They had check boxes and open-ended. Okay. So I can send you a copy of it. And anybody who's listening to this podcast, just email me afterwards and I can send you a copy of the comfort menu and the Please Handle Me With Care. Because when people found these or see these, they're wowed because it's something that was different even when I bought my practice in 2007.
The last thing that we did that was really cool, and unfortunately we don't offer it anymore because the practice just got too big. We didn't have room for it. But when we first opened, we had extra operatories that were plumb, but we didn't equip yet. So I decided, hey, we already have the TVs installed. Like, instead of these just sitting empty, let's get some nice massage chairs. So, you know, I went on Amazon, $700 a piece. You know, they seemed like Brookstone quality. It was crazy. I had no idea what I was going to get. Cause you know, when you order stuff on Amazon, the reviews might be fake, whatever it is. But those chairs came in and they were amazing. Patients loved them. Unfortunately, we got busy so fast that we needed to put dental chairs in those rooms. And so we had no more room for the massage chairs. So one of them actually died like right as we were getting ready to move it out. So I just tossed that one. And then the other one, my mom got gifted for her birthday. So she loves it. But I'm going to do the same thing for the new office. So, you know, when the new office is open, we're going to have extra rooms that we're not going to put the dental chairs in right away. I'm going to go right back to Amazon and order more of those chairs. And I would say, any of you guys doing a startup right now, if you have extra rooms that you're not going to put chairs in right away, go on Amazon, buy some affordable massage chairs. Patients love them. And then even like if they're running late for, or if you're running late for their appointment, how much better is it for them to sit in a private room in a massage chair watching Netflix versus sitting in the, I hate to call it waiting room, that we call it the patient lounge, but versus sitting up front in the waiting room, basically. So that was a huge boost to our practice early on too.
It's great. And you know, if you bring them back and if you're running late and you put in the back, they don't even believe that you ran late because you brought them back to the back room already and you put them in something that's super, more, super comfortable than a seat in the front of the office. So I love that idea. I think that's great. I didn't have the room for that. I was stocked to the rooms and we renovated and we still didn't have room for anything like that. But I always thought having a massage chair, similar to paraffin, the patients would love that. So that's a great idea too. So I know that you use an automated service to help generate the reviews. But you have a note here that, you know, how do you use automation without sounding automation? Because automated is great. Automated is a great way to jumpstart your reviews. It's a great way to ensure the patients are going to write the reviews. But there's always something else that needs to be done in addition to it. So can you talk about specifically what you said here in terms of how to use automation without it sounding automated?
I don't know about you, Len, but I get a lot of these automated texts these days, and I feel like we've trained our brains where you see the automated text and half the time I don't even read it because you get it. You get so many and you're like, oh, I already know what this is going to say or whatever. So, the point is automation is really helpful because it would take a lot of effort and a lot of consistency for my team to individually reach out to all these patients on the days and times they're supposed to ask for these reviews. So I 100% think you should use an automated service for sure. But if you just use the base text where it says, this is the Dental Boutique West Chase, this, you know, asking you to leave us a review, or, you know, we're reaching out to ask about your experience at our office, I feel like a lot of patients are going to ignore it. So right from the very start, we crafted our text responses, the automated text, to sound like they were coming from our front desk personnel. So, you know, like, let's say your front desk personnel's name's Judy. She's, you know, at the end of the appointment, Judy is going to say to the patient, like, hey, how was your experience? Oh, it was great. That's wonderful. Would you do me a really big favor? Would you be willing to take a couple minutes to write us a Google review about your experience? It really helps, you know, our small office grow. And the patient's 95% of the time like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. So then Judy follows up and she says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Later today, I'm going to send you a link. I'm going to send you a text. It's going to have a link in it. Click on the link. It's going to lead you right to our Google reviews. It takes like 2 minutes. We really, really appreciate it. And then as a thank you, once you leave us a review, you're going to get an entry in our patient appreciation raffle. Every few months we raffle off cool prizes like AirPods and gift cards and things like that. We don't tell them they have to leave us a 5-star review. We just say, you know, for leaving us your feedback, you're going to get entered in our patient appreciation raffle. So later that night, the first automated text goes out to that patient and it says, hey, it's Judy. You know, here's that, that link I was telling you about to leave us a review. We really appreciate it. You know, again, after you leave the review, you'll be entered in our patient appreciation raffle. So at this point, when the patient's reading the text, they don't think, oh, this is just one of those automated texts. They think, oh, this is Judy. I remember her at the front desk. And yeah, I actually told her I would leave a review. So now they feel that commitment that they made earlier. So they're way more likely to follow through with it, click on that link and actually leave the review at that point in time.
That's really, I mean, look, I've been in the review space for a really long time and I've come up with so many variations of these messages that goes out. I love the fact that you discussed it with them. I think it's a really important part of it. You can't just ensure that the automation is going to do everything, but I like the fact that you changed the verbiage to indicate that Judy has discussed something with them prior and they're getting the message that actually says, I think that's a really big twist on what I already talked about. So I told you, I do these podcasts. I learn too. I just learned something new there that I can help, you know, obviously tell my clients about. That's really interesting. The other thing that I like to do, even if you do not have a huddle, and most offices do, is mention to the patients that we like celebrating our 5-star reviews during our morning huddle, and we would love to read yours the next morning. So even if you don't have a morning huddle, they don't know the difference. Just tell them that you're going to celebrate it at the morning huddle, and you definitely see an increase in reviews because of that, because they know you're going to read it. A lot of times they wonder if you even read these things.
I think that's a great idea, Len, something I've never thought about, but I do think it's important to respond to your reviews. So, you know, we have over 1500 Google reviews now at my flagship office, and every single one of them has been responded to. It used to be me up until like 2 weeks ago, actually. So I had responded to, you know, well over 1400 reviews myself, but, I mean, just it, take a second. You don't have to do it every single day, but you know, once a week or once a month, just go through and spend an hour just responding to reviews, because I think patients do appreciate. I mean, you ask them, they did it. It's nice to kind of say that thank you. Hey, we really appreciate the kind words. Our whole team appreciates you. You know, thank you so much for you know, leaving your feedback, that type of a thing. And just as important, I think it's important to respond to negative reviews as well. And so even those reviews get responded to. You know, responding to a negative review is kind of an art form, and you've got to respect HIPAA. My advice there is stay as professional and level-headed as you can. I thank every single patient for the review, whether it's 5-star or 1-star. So that's the first thing I say. I say, thank you so much for leaving this review. This is Dr. Valloway on the Dental Boutique West Chase. And then, you know, if it's a situation where I truly don't think the patient was seen at our office, I'll tell them that, hey, it seems like you may have us confused in another office. I've said that and there are reviews I truly believe were not meant for our office. We have a pediatric office next door. I think we've got a handful of negative reviews from people that were supposed to go there. But in general, if I know it's a patient from our office, I will say, thank you so much. I'm so sorry to hear about this. We are a family owned business. Patient experience is always my number one priority. I would love to try to help solve this problem for you. Please reach out to me directly at this email. And I'm going to follow up with you on the phone as well. And then the next thing I do is I go to their chart. I look up their cell phone number. And from my cell phone, I text that patient and I say, hey, it's Dr. Vallow. You know, I got a notification. You left us a Google review. And I just wanted to reach out to see what I could do to help. I've had reviews taken down from that. I've had reviews turned from 1-star to 4-star or 5-star from doing that. There's people that ignore you, but I think it's always worth taking those couple minutes to try to see if you could help solve the problem. So
I have a class called, Oh my God, I got a bad review. What do I do? So I teach negative review responding all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm very clear that, you know, I think you should be reaching out to the patient personally first. You know, because I don't like to do it in a public forum. So you can text them and you can just let them know, hey, we saw you wrote a negative review. I would love to speak to you about it. A lot of times the review will be taken down without you even having to ask them. So I'm a huge proponent of that. I do, you know, like responding to negatives, but only if the patient isn't crazy, because a crazy patient will respond and it's going to cause a whole load of problems. So, and I have examples of that. So I use those examples to convince people to do it. But I think responding to reviews is absolutely necessary. It just depends on how you do it, when you do it. So, but I think that's really, really good. I think the information that we just provided practices is really good for them to figure out how to, you know, get the reviews. I think the most important thing is you have to use something. Just asking won't really help though. If you ask, the patients still have to do all the work. With the automation system, it simplifies the process for them and it makes it much easier for them to actually do what they told you they were going to do.
I agree. I think, and I don't know, there's different systems out there. I would guess most of them probably range from $100 to a couple $100 a month for the service. I think it's some of the best money you can spend, because it's going to exponentially increase the number of Google reviews you get, which is going to help a lot more patients find your office.
And in addition to that, it will also, especially because, you know, we talked about the marketing that you were doing and you invested a lot of money in marketing as a startup.
Oh, yeah.
It will make the marketing work better for you if you have the reviews behind you. The foundational stuff is the reviews. But ultimately, the marketing works better if you have reviews as the foundation. If you don't, you have to be very careful how much money you spend on marketing, because they're going to look at you. They're going to look you up after they see your ad or your Facebook post or something, and they're going to decide. That's what really is going to help them decide whether they want to come in or not.
I make a point of asking new patients how they found us. You know, my front office personnel does as well, so they could actually enter it in the computer, the referral source. But I like to. That's like one of my icebreakers. Oh, how'd you find us? And I will say, like, as we've grown, as our SEO has gotten better, as our reviews have gotten higher, we do have some patients who literally like, oh, I just was looking for a dentist and saw your reviews, which means people are literally finding us just because of our reviews. But the majority, it's not that. The majority is I saw an ad somewhere and then I looked at your Google reviews. Somebody told me about you and then I looked at your Google reviews. I saw your sign out in the parking lot because I go to the medical doctor next door and then I looked at your Google reviews. But like, it very often is, and then I looked at your Google reviews. So had they seen that advertising and then looked at our Google reviews and we had none or we had bad reviews or whatever it was, they probably wouldn't have chosen our office.
100% so. And I've been preaching out to the choir since I've been talking about reviews. You know, one of the interesting things I had was I had a license plate with my website on it. PCDECOM. And I put a black electrical tape from Home Depot as the dot.
Okay.
And I would ask, I was very similar. We were like drawn from the same blood here. It's interesting. just I'm a little older than you. And I asked every patient, that was the icebreaker. How'd you hear about my practice? Why'd you choose me? And some people said, well, I saw you in your car and I looked you up. You know, they saw my car with my license plate on it and they looked me up online. So that tells
you,
that tells you how well that works, because obviously it was the reviews. The reviews ultimately decided that it was the decision making factor for them to come into the practice. So, yeah. I think another thing I wanted to touch base on is that a lot of practices, a lot of team members are afraid or scared to ask for a review. So I have my own ways of asking. I call it feedback. Feedback about their experience, I think, is that a great way to have an icebreaker there so it doesn't feel uncomfortable. Do you have any thoughts or ideas on that?
Yeah, and honestly, I'm probably speaking even more to the practice owner here than to the team members when I say you can't be afraid to ask for reviews and you can't be afraid to ask multiple times. So yes, the team members sometimes are afraid, but like that's just, I mean, that's our system. That's how we train them. You know, as part of the checkout process, you ask how the visit was, you tell them, hey, you ask them to leave a Google review, you tell them that you're going to send the text. Like that's just, at this point, that's just script. The rest of the team, they're supposed to, if a patient says something nice, say, hey, would you write that on Google? It's kind of like a little bit funny, like kind of like a joke. And sometimes people laugh about it. But I personally do that myself as well. If patients are like, oh my gosh, your office is so beautiful, or the hygienist was so amazing, I'm like, oh, that's great. Would you write that on Google for me? And you know, whatever. But my bigger point here is with the automation, we don't just send one text, because unfortunately we all know life is busy. There are times I have told small business owners, I'll leave you a review, and then I just forget about it. Or you get one text and you're like, yeah, I'm in the middle of something, I'm gonna do this later, and you forget about it. While you want to help them out, it's like not your number one priority. We all have things going on. We have jobs and kids and bills and, you know, everything else going on in life. So it's kind of farther down our priority list. We have to be willing to gently remind the patients about the review process. So, you know, when we first started the first office, we had, we use Swell, but Swell lets you do like a couple, different options on how many texts you send. So we had the first text turned on, we had the second text turned on. So the first one went out the night of, and then the second one went out like 3 days later. And the second one was like, hey, just a friendly, you know, this is, again, it's coming from Judy or whatever. Hey, it's Judy, just a friendly reminder. If you get a couple minutes, and you can leave us a review, we'd really appreciate it. We know you're busy, but it helps us a lot. And we were getting a good number of reviews, but eventually I thought about it. I'm like, man, we're still not getting as high a percentage as I'd like. And so I decided I was going to turn on that third reminder text. And I was wondering at the time, like, is this too much? Are patients going to get mad? But I was like, you know what? We're going to try it. We're going to see what happens. I think that third reminder was a game changer. I think that third time was the charm, as they often say. That third text goes out 7 days after their appointment. And it says, hey, it's Judy. I promise this is the last reminder. We'd really, really appreciate it if you could take a minute to leave us feedback from your visit at our office. It really helps us find more great patients like you. Thank you, like blah, blah, blah. So basically, like in the text, we're like, hey, we know we're being a little bit annoying. I promise this is the last time we're going to remind you, but if you could do this, we'd really appreciate it. And I think a couple things are working with that text. Like one, patients have told us that they're going to. So I think some people honestly feel guilty. They're like, oh man, like they had to remind me three times. Like, I'm sorry. People actually respond to that automated text and say, I'm so sorry. I got busy. Yes, I'm going to do it right now. Like blah, blah, blah. Or on the flip side, they're like maybe getting just like mildly annoying. They're like, okay, I'm just going to do this so that they don't bother me anymore and get it over with. We have the automation set so that once a patient leaves us a review, they don't get another text asking for a review for at least 12 months. So, you know, they're not, if it's someone who's getting a lot of treatment done, they're coming in, you know, a couple times a month, they're not going to keep getting these reminders every single visit. As long as they've left us a review. My thought process here is you've got to be willing to break a few eggs, make an omelet. So, you know, over the course of thousands and thousands of patients that have gotten these texts, have there been maybe a couple that actually got annoyed from them? Probably. You know, there's a couple that maybe say like stop or something like that. But at the end of the day, is it worth maybe annoying a couple patients to get 1500 reviews in 2 years? I think absolutely 100%. So
I agree 100%. Ready to take the next step in your practice's growth? Dental Intelligence is here to help you practice smarter. They help you extract the secrets hidden in your practice's data so you can provide a modern patient experience. From digital forms to online scheduling to two-way communication, Dental Intelligence does it all. That means you have all the data you need to grow and all the tools you need to make it easy. Get started with a free demo today by going to get.dentalintel.net/ravingpatients and receive a $50 Amazon gift card upon completing your demo. Dental Intelligence. Intelligently shape the future of your practice. So I wanted to ask you one last thing before I do my Q&A, and then we'll talk about your podcast briefly. One of the things we talked about before the call was the marketing that you did, and you invested a lot of money on marketing. Can you just give some advice to the starter practices? Because I know in our conversation, a lot of starter practices say they can't afford marketing. I think we both agree that they can. So can you just give a little bit of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, my advice is that you can't afford not to spend money on marketing. Marketing is the lifeblood of any business. And I think for some reason in dental, it's like seen differently than it is in many other industries, but like you have to market to bring new patients into your practice. It's important even for existing practices, because you always want to, unless you are so at capacity, there's nothing else you can do to get patients in the door and you're booked out 8 months. Okay, maybe it's not that important for you, but for most practices, marketing is important. For startups, it is like the most important thing, because you could have the most beautiful office, the best trained team, the best technology. You could have great bedside manner and all this stuff. But if you're not marketing, it's going to take a really long time for you to grow. I know dentists that did startups and still consider their office a startup 5, 6, 7, 10 years later. I know dentists that did that and still associated at another office 5, 6, 7, 10 years later. So if you want to go from startup office to actual full-fledged dental practice and you want to do that in the shortest time possible, you have to spend that money on marketing. You have to have an abundance mindset. You have to hire for the office you want, not the office you have right now. I'm a big proponent of hiring a hygienist from day one. That's something that I got advice from many personnel in the dental world. Don't do that. You can't afford it. You can't afford a hygienist. And again, my thought was, I can't afford not to have a hygienist. If I'm doing all the cleanings, when am I going to have time to do the dentistry? I'm not.
I agree with you 100% there. I think that's a great way what you just said. And I think you repeat that. If you start a practice, you have to have a hygienist, because if you're doing the hygiene in the practice, how can you tie a fine to do dentistry? And the dentistry is what's going to make the money for you. So
yeah, that's probably one of the first pieces of advice I give when I talk to a dentist doing a startup is be ready to spend money on marketing, hire a hygienist from day one. I think those are two of the most important things you can do if you want to set yourself on a path for like quick growth.
That's amazing. That's great. So as I told you, Andrew, we're going to do a little Q&A with a program I have called Poddex. It's all business. I'm going to go ahead and just ask you some questions, answer them really quickly. So let's go through these and we'll get through a couple of these. So we've answered this kind of the same right now, but how do you distinguish yourself from your competitors?
I would say I put more emphasis on the patient experience. I am more willing to spend money and I'm not afraid to ask patients for reviews.
There you go. I love that there. What book should you go back and reread as it has made a great impact on you the first time?
A book that I read every year and I'm probably due for is The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. So it's all about how we can't control things in life, but we can control how we respond to them. And you can turn a bad situation to a good one if you think about it the right way.
What do you feel is the best way, or how did you feel that you built your great team that you have?
Trial and error. It's still a work in progress, but I feel like every 6 months our team gets stronger, and I think we're almost there with some really good teams in our current offices.
All right. What is one skill or trait that you have that you feel is imperative that makes you successful?
Willingness to take risks and an abundance mindset.
Okay. Who do you look for to advice or mentorship?
I mean, I would say like my DSI mastermind group with Mark Costas for dental advice, but just for life advice, it's definitely my dad.
Okay. That's cool. If you were to start your venture again, so let's say the first location, what would you have done differently?
I think I would have spent more money on marketing from the very beginning. I would have marketed towards, like for my implant office, I would have marketed towards the higher value procedures that we now do. Because when we first started, I was spending a lot of money advertising like $84 extractions and things like that, because we were trying to be a value prop, like implant, kind of like an affordable dentures type model. And I realized over time that it was way better to spend that money on the procedures we really wanted to do, even if it costs a little bit more per patient acquisition.
Got it. Last one for me. What is one subscription you can't live without? It could be, doesn't have to be business related either.
All of our automation software. So like Flex, Swell, whatever. But like if we didn't have that software that automates our we do the same thing with appointment reminders, confirmations that we do with reviews. And so like having all of those automations in place, that's huge. I can't imagine my team having to follow up with all those patients.
I think that's great. You're like the first person ever to mention that. I was waiting for someone to say that. So, all right, let's talk about your podcast, which you just launched, and then we'll end the podcast. So tell people about your podcast.
By the time this releases, we should have a lot more episodes out. But right now it's mid-September, and I launched a podcast called Dental Unfiltered about a month and a half ago. We're releasing a new episode every 2 weeks. First episode is all about my journey from zero to four startups and things I learned along the way. We've got an episode kind of delving a little bit even deeper into some Google review stuff. We've got an episode about Invisalign parties and how you can close 15 to 20 Invisalign cases one afternoon. We've got an episode about reducing no-shows and an episode about how to get 250 new patients in a month. So I'm always looking for more great ideas and things to talk about. So, you know, if you guys reach out to me and you have things that you want me to talk about, I'm happy to. But I'm new to this game. I'd love feedback. And just like our dental offices, our podcasts need reviews too. So it would be awesome if you would, if you're listening to this, if you'd leave a review for Lens Podcast. And then if you listen to mine, leave us a review too. That would be great. We'd really like that.
Well, this was awesome, Andrew. This was a great episode. I think I was nodding my head so many times because everything you said, I agree with. So thank you so much for spending some time in your day to work with me on this podcast. Guys, if you like this episode, please tell everybody about it. Please listen to Andrew's podcast as well. Review us, like us, share it, do whatever you can. And as I end all of my podcasts, please remember your reputation matters. Until the next episode, thanks, Andrew, for joining us. And we'll talk to everyone soon.
Thanks, Len.
If you like the show, please share it with a friend or colleague who might also get value from it. I'm Dr. Len Tao, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Raving Patients Podcast.